us. We are very glad to have our brother Keith Shields and his wife Esther with us tonight. We'd like to welcome them warmly. I think that Keith might have a wee bit of the cough problem as well. They say that's what the Undertaker died of, you know, coughing. I don't know if you've heard that one before. That's the best I could do tonight anyway. I'm sorry about that. But we're very glad to have our brother with us tonight. We welcome him sincerely to the meeting. He's going to come up and testify to us and tell us the story of the Lord's redeeming grace in his life. Thank you. This one already before. Can you talk about that?
If you have the precious Word of God before you this evening, can I invite you to come to that beautiful passage of Scripture, the book of Corinthians, the very first book of Corinthians, chapter 1, please. And while we're turning up to that great passage of Scripture, can I say it's a joy to be here this evening to share a personal word of testimony of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in my life. And truly, I want to say it is no secret what God can do. For what he's done in the life of Keith Shields, my friends, praise the Lord tonight he can do for you. Maybe you're in this meeting tonight for the first time and don't know about this great Savior. I love that Psalm 34 and verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. I just want to take this opportunity to thank your pastor and the session at this church for having me here this evening. It is a pleasure for me and my wife to be here. But if you hear me coughing, please forgive me. This time, last year, in fact, I was speaking down in Limavady in the airwaves, and my throat was just the same as what it is tonight. And I was speaking that night in Ranaldstown Free Presbyterian Church. I was preaching that night. But I got up that morning and I says, Lord, you're going to have to do a miracle. And I serve a God of miracles. And I says, Lord, what you're going to have to do is take away this cough from me. And you know something, folks, I believe in a God that answers prayer. And my prayer is tonight, above all things, that you will hear the voice, not of Keith Shields. Because Keith Shields is absolutely nothing to boast on, my friends. You know, I go about a lot of churches. I've been to England. I've been to all over testifying. And friends, sadly, and I mean sadly, these churches, you can fill them, no problem. All because of a Mickey Mouse title that I once owned. You will hear very little about Keith Shields here tonight. You know something, suppose I could say it's great bit to get the people into the churches. But you know, I have come tonight to speak about a great Savior. Let's read this beautiful passage of Scripture. And for the sake of time, we're just going to read verses 17, 18. Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And truly, Paul the Apostle, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all them that believe. My friends, just come with me straight right down into the very last verse, verse 31. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Did Paul not say in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? And sadly, my friends, I'm a man that speaks from the heart. I never want to hear the well done of man, because for 2 years I testified in many places. And that was my heart's desire, for people to say, wow, you spoke well. I believe for 2 years of my life, I spoke in the flesh. Burnt up hay and stubble. Because folks, many times I had the congregation in fits of laughing. You know, the Word of God tells me that God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about Him. I believe in the 21st century, we've got wolves in sheep's clothing behind the pulpits. And I mean that from my heart, my friends. I was speaking to a minister just this week, and he had told me that he had broke down behind the pulpit while he was preaching on the cross. Do you know what the rumor was going about the church after that? The rumor was going about that man is on the verge of taking a nervous breakdown. Where's the weeping went, my friends? Where's the old-fashioned preaching of the gospel? Did Jeremiah 6 and 16 not say, let's get back to the old paths? My friends, we're far from it. And yet we think all is well in the church. Many come to testify, and they speak for about 25 minutes about themselves. And the last 3 minutes say, the Lord saved me, amen. My friends, that's a word in the flesh, not in the spirit. I believe today we need to get into the precious Word of God, not into the internet for second-hand messages. That's the problem today. There's men stand behind the secret closet. And let me tell you something, the secret desk, and they're preaching second-hand messages. We need to get into the Word of God and get into Philippians chapter 2. That great example of Christ, every believer. That example where the Lord Jesus Christ says He gave Himself of no reputation. What a place to start, my friends. And truly, it's only his last maybe a year and a half that I've got myself to that spot. Praise be to Almighty God, I cannot create an anxious thought. But I've seen many souls saved through the preaching of this book. Testimony will not save a man, my friends. It's only preaching of God's precious truth. You know, it's not our ability that the Lord Jesus Christ is looking for. I can assure you that now, my friends. Listen to me very carefully. I have got no education whatsoever. And I mean whatsoever. But it's not my education that the Lord's looking for. It's not my ability. It's my availability that the Lord Jesus Christ is looking for. You know, 1 month ago I was going to speak. In fact, I think I was going to preach that night. And I come up from the study and I says to the wife, I feel so, so weak tonight. So weak and empty. My wife turned to me. And the words came out of my wife's lips was this, praise the Lord. I thought she was looking around. But praise the Lord, spiritually she was right. Spiritually, she was right. The Word of God tells me in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10, when I am weak, then am I strong. You know, the great missionary Hudson Taylor that opened up inland China to the gospel used to say, all of God's great giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they seen their own weaknesses, but believed in God's almighty power. Yes, my friends, I stand here before you tonight just as a vessel of clay. But praise the Lord, a vessel of clay that wants to be filled with the Spirit of Almighty God. You know, the power is not of Keith Shields here tonight. The power is of God. I love that beautiful verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. But we have this earthly treasure in earthly vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That's my prayer tonight, that the power of God will ascend here, that we'll hear the speaking voice of the Lord. My friends, we just need to unite our hearts now in a brief word of prayer. and ask for the Lord's leading and the Lord's guidance here this evening. Let's pray. Our loving God and our gracious eternal Heavenly Father, we approach Thee once again at the throne room of grace. And praise the Lord, we can come there through that redeeming blood. Praise the Lord, we have full access right into the very throne room of heaven. You've told us there we can obtain mercy and find grace to help for in a time of need. And dear Heavenly Father, as I stand here as Thy child, I need that power from heaven. Man can receive nothing except it be given from heaven. Lord, I stand here before Thee. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, now for an infilling of the Spirit of the Triune God. Help me to uplift my lovely Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He have said, if my name be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Dear Heavenly Father, may this be the night that we'll see holy water, tears of repentance. May this be the birthplace of many souls. Heavenly Father, surround this building in the blood. Praise the Lord, Satan is a defeated foe tonight, all because of the shed blood. We give Thee thanks for that cry, it is finished. Praise the Lord, I can stand in the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord, they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Now give me the words of Paul, the Apostle. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, my Lord, my strength, and my Redeemer. And let the God of my salvation be exalted. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. My name is Keith Shields, for those that don't know me. I was born away back in the 23rd of the 9, 1969. We all know that was the Troubles. And no doubt I had a part to play in that, folks. Because you know something, I praise the Lord that the Lord just doesn't save the good. And because this man, for 35 years of his life, was a wayward boy. Trouble from a very, very, very young age. But praise the Lord, I stand here tonight as a blood-bought child of Almighty God. Just an old sinner. Praise the Lord, saved by grace. I love that beautiful hymn, Amazing Grace, that John Newton had wrote. Especially verse 3. You know what says these words? Though many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe this far. And praise the Lord, it will be grace that will lead me home. I stand here simply as a trophy of grace, of what the Lord Jesus Christ can do in a life. So then, to my God be the glory for great things He hath done in my life. You know, I often say this, I could testify in 7 words. Your pastor tonight has given me a half an hour, but folks, listen to me. It's a cold night out there. If the Spirit of God makes me speak for 10 minutes, so may it be. But if the Spirit of God makes me speak longer, praise be to His name. But you know the mighty thing about it, my friends? I could testify in 7 words. And 7 in the Bible is the number of perfection. And listen to these 7 words. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? My friends, think about that. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? I'm wondering tonight in this meeting, is He wonderful to you? Is He wonderful to you? You know, Psalm 91 and 14 tells me, and I love it, because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. And my friends, that amazes me tonight just to think that the God of heaven knows my name. My friends, I'm telling you something tonight. I'm just wondering in this meeting, does He know your name? Of course, my Heavenly Father knows your name, because that's the great omnipotence of a great Savior. He's all-knowing and He's all-powerful. But friends, what I am asking tonight, is your name written in the Lamb's book of life in heaven? The word of God tells us in Revelations 20 and 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into hell. My friends, I believe today the problem and behind the pulpits is we never hear that word hell. Let's face it. When my Savior was on earth, He preached more on hell than He did on heaven. But let me tell you something tonight. I've got to be faithful to my mighty Savior. You know what scares me whenever I went into Ezekiel 33 and realized the duty of the watchman. The duty of the watchman is to blow the trumpet, is to warn the people, lest their blood be required at the watchman's hands. But folks, two things will take you down off a place called hell. The first thing is you refused to accept God's way of salvation. And that was through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what the second thing is, my friends? You ended your life listening to the lies of the devil. And you know what happened? He ended up deceiving you. Satan is a deceiver and has been for over 6,000 years. My friends, listen to me very carefully. Even Christian, don't think you're a match for the Lord Jesus or for the devil. Don't think you're a match for him, my friends. Do you remember Peter, whenever he thought he was walking well with the Savior? Do you remember the Lord Jesus Christ turned to him and says, Peter, Peter, Satan desires to have thee that he may sift thee like wheat, but I have prayed for thee. You know, that's the way I can stand here tonight and testify and talk about a wonderful Savior. My Savior prays for me daily. Praise be to His great and wonderful name. You know, my friends, hell's a real place. But yet, my friends, so many people take it so lightly. A young lady recently in at work says she doesn't mind going to hell. Canteen was full. Wow, everybody laughed. And here I was, as God's child, sitting in amongst it. What was I supposed to do? Go with the flow? Very easy to go with the flow, my friends, isn't it? I don't mind going to hell because that's where all my friends are going to be. And sure, there's just going to be a bit of crack there. Big party. And let me tell you something tonight, my friends. You know any crack in hell? Is the cracks of the flames. Don't you mock such a place, my friends. Don't you mock such a place. Me and my wife went recently. We were thinking of moving home. We went into this house. Remember going through it, my friends, and I remember the estate agent taking us into this room that was built onto the back of the house. Big massive pool table, TV screwed to the wall, and some kind of a makeshift bar in the corner. I didn't mind all that. I got it ripped it out with my hands. But you know what made me tremble in that house? I couldn't wait to get back out, was the plaque that was on the wall. Do you know what the plaque read? If there's no beer in heaven, I don't want to be there. How somebody could tick and make a plaque like that, I just don't understand, my friends. If there's no beer in heaven, I don't want to be there. Let me tell you something, my friends. There is no beer in heaven. And praise be to Almighty God, there's not even a sniff of it. But let me tell you what is in heaven. There's fountains of living water. And praise the Lord for the believer. We shall never thirst again. But no doubt Satan and his demons are listening in tonight. I've no doubt. They're no doubt circling this building. And back to them. Praise be to Almighty God that there's no beer in hell also. And Satan knows that, my friends. Not only is there no beer in hell, there's not even a drop of water. My friends, I ask you tonight to consider your ways, lest you end up in this lost eternity. You see, if you open up God's precious word, and you go into Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through to 31, you'll read about a young man had everything materially in this earth. Rich man. Do you remember the old beggar that lay outside his gates, just simply desiring to be fed of the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table? Well, here we see him cry. We see him cry. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. and says, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. You see, the day of mercy was over for this man. Praise be to Almighty God tonight. You're sitting underneath the preaching of God's precious word. You're still in the day of grace. Do you know what his cry was? Same Lazarus, the old beggar, that I may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. My friends, that's why I haven't come tonight to play a game or go through the format of another church service. I've come you here for one reason and one reason only, and that's to warn you about your soul, my friends. To warn you about your soul. The Word of God tells me in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. My friends, those three arms is very important. Please listen to them. And the Lord God formed man of dust of the ground. What are we, my friends, here tonight? Let's face it. What are we? Dustly beings. You read about it in the next chapter 3. From dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. We're made from dust, but we are marked with deity upon us, because we're made in the image of God. My friends, that's why you're here tonight. Your main purpose is to glorify God here on earth, and then to enjoy him forever in heaven. And breathe into his nostrils the breath of life. Every heartbeat that's given here tonight, my friends, young and old, is given from a mighty God. As your heart is beating, my friends, that's given from God. Do you remember what Job said? The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. My friends, listen to the last one. And man became a living soul. You see, your soul is the most precious thing that you own. It's not your car, your house, your money. Why do I say that? Because one day you must needs leave it all behind. Mark 8:36 tells me, what should a profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? My friends, I've rubbed shoulders with the so-called famous Jordan. I was her personal bodyguard years ago when she came to Northern Ireland. Can I tell you something? She's a very depressed young lady. I pray that you don't buy these magazines anyway to read about these so-called famous people. I seen her weep when the lights went out. You see, I tell you why, my friends. Money doesn't bring happiness. Truly, money doesn't bring happiness. You see, we're made in the image of God, and there's a void missing in each and every one of us. And that void is the Lord Jesus Christ. But folks, here I am tonight, and I'm going to give a short personal word of testimony. You know, I was brought up in a very godly home. A mum and dad loved the Lord. My dad's an elder. And you know, my sweetest memories of my father was many's a night when I was out in the pubs and clubs coming home that night, and I hear my father weep for this man. Please save Keith. Please save Keith. Why it breaks my heart tonight, my friends. I broke my mum and dad's heart. And from a very, very young age, my friends, from a very young age, I was deceived by Satan. 7, 8, 9 years of age, I remember sitting in the meetings, hearing God's word faithfully proclaimed. And Satan used to come alongside me. Do you know what he used to say to me, my friends? And it's as fresh in my mind tonight as it was way back those years ago. You're not a sinner, Keith. You can't be a sinner whenever you're just this age, because you're in the house of God. And let me tell you what a sinner is. A sinner is somebody that grows up 15, 16, starts to take drink and drugs and goes out to the nightclubs. That's what a sinner is, Keith. You're not a sinner at your age. My friends, that's exactly what Satan told me at that very young age. Let me tell you something, my friends. Psalm 51 and verse 5 tells me this. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. I was no different from anybody else in here. I was a sinner from birth. The Word of God says that for all have sinned and all have come short of the glory of God. But you know, two fears that I had in my life as a young boy was death. It tormented me as a young boy. I was always afraid of dying. You see, the Word of God tells me in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man that wants to die, and after this, the judgment. Romans 14:12 goes on to say, so then, every one of us will give an account of ourselves to God. We know we all must needs die. My friends, I have no call to go into it today. We must needs die because of the fall in the Garden of Eden over 6,000 years ago. Do you remember the old serpent, the devil, in the Garden of Eden? How he brought sin and death into this world. I thank the Lord for that beautiful verse we read in Romans 5:12. It warns us, my friend, there's enough passage of scripture here tonight to make you think. Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. I thank the Lord that verse doesn't end there. I thank the Lord for the buts in the Bible. I don't know what version you use. I pray it's the King James Version. Man died for the King James Version. But folks, do you know I love the buts in the Bible? 3,751 buts. I love this but. And it's found there in Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. But, here it is, my friends. But, the gift of God is eternal life. Praise the Lord. Death for the believer, what is it? I have no fear of death. Death's only a doorway that leads us into heaven. And as believers, we can quote that beautiful verse, O death, where is thy sting? And O grave, where is thy victory? Praise the Lord. Over 2,000 years ago, in a place called Calvary, my lovely Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, swallowed up death. When he cried from that middle cross, it is finished. The work of redemption was complete. Tetelestai. Paid in full. Paid in full. But you know, the devil is a deceiver. And woe be to the day and hour he's driven into the very pit of hell that was prepared for him. You see what Satan will tell you here tonight? Either the man at the front's cuckoo, or the man at the front's telling the truth. And I need to do something. I need to do something. Well, let me tell you something, my friends. If the Spirit of God is speaking here tonight, don't you turn him away. I'll tell you why. The Spirit of God is not always found, or it's not always near. That's not the words of Keith Shields here tonight. My Savior can't always be found. Don't you think that what you'll do is, you'll do what I was thinking of doing, wait to my deathbed. And just simply cry out, Lord, save me. Because I tell you what, you could come to your deathbed and you'll never, now listen to me, you may never be able to cry that out. Why do I say that? Isaiah 55:6 tells me, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. And call ye upon him while he is near. You probably know the brother William McRae. If you go into his website and go into his testimony, you'll hear him talk about his Uncle George. And Uncle George knew the Word of God. But you know what Uncle George's last cry here on earth was? Oh hell, oh hell, oh hell. I wonder why that man just didn't cry out, Lord, save me, a sinner. No, no, my friends, listen to me. The day of opportunity was over. That's the way the Word of God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Why? For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Folks, listen to me. For the sake of time, I'm just taking you now till the age of 35 years of age. I rebelled at the age of 15 and I says, I will never be inside a church door again in my life. Because you know why? It was for wimps. See, this Christianity, it's for the softies. But let me tell you something tonight, my friends. There's nothing soft about being a Christian. Trust me. It's a very easy thing to go with the flow. Trust me. Go with the flow. Come you off the flow and go onto the narrow road. Do you see what it's like? Become a true soldier. Not too many men can hold the scriptures and walk down the street like that. Takes a brave man to do that, my friends. You see, this was my problem. My reputation was standing outside bars and clubs, head doorman, for years upon years. Fighting week in, week out. I had more scars over my body and unbelievable. My wife seen I'd come home many a night and the white shirt was just plastered in blood. I'd done the door work in the Black Horse, one of the roughest bars, no doubt, in the north. This is where the travelling community drunk. They weren't allowed into any other bar. There was a hostel that lived, or that these young people used to use. They used to come up because they could get into no other bar, and here I was fine. Week in, week out. My image was I wanted to be the hard man. Nothing hard about Keith Shields, my friends. Absolutely nothing hard about Keith Shields. Let me tell you something tonight. You see, for those in this church that's involved in outreach, let me be a word of encouragement tonight, my friends. Do you know the greatest thing in the church? Listen to me very carefully. Is prayer. Do you know what the second greatest thing in the church is? Outreach. And do you know what the third thing? Preaching. Preaching. Why do I say that? It wasn't a pastor that broke me. Gospel track. These people were coming down to go into this club next door. You see, isn't it wonderful too when you hand a gospel track into somebody's hands? What does Satan say? What use is that? You'll never be saved through that. Let me tell you something. There's enough scripture in this gospel track to save the world. But here I was standing outside this nightclub. And you know what they were doing? They were ripping up God's precious word. And those two fears drifted back into my life again. What is wrong with these people? Do they not realize that one day that they're going to stand and give an account of themselves to God? Do they not realize if the Lord was to return tonight, they'll be punished for what they're doing, ripping up God's word? And just like that, my friends, the Spirit of Almighty God drew alongside me. And you know what the Spirit of God says? You're no better than what they are. In fact, you're worse. Because you know the gospel, Keith. And yet you've rejected me for years. My friends, I want to tell you something. At 18 and a half stone, ready to compete in Ireland's Strongest Man, I was standing at that door, trembling. I remember going across on the tracks that wasn't ripped up. One heartbeat away from heaven or hell. I remember lifting them up and putting them into my pocket. I remember coming back and saying to the big doorman beside me, isn't it ridiculous, the state of this world? Me trying to preach to him and me wasn't even ready myself, my friends. You see, the word of God tells me in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, be not deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. My dad worked with one of these boys, a mocker and a scoffer. And every opportunity this young man had, you know what he used to do? He used to mock God's word. Anytime my dad had the Bible open and was studying the word of God, reading it and at work at dinner time, I used to wait and then he used to come alongside my dad and try to twist the word of God. One particular day, there was a changeover of shifts. And this young man walked past my father. And these are the words that he spoke for the last time on earth. He says, Cecil, if there's a such place as hell, I'll see you there. He walked across. He jumped onto his motorbike. And out through those two sets of gates for the last time. On the way home, my friends, listen to me carefully. He hit a tractor and a trailer. He hit a tractor and a trailer. You know, 1 month after that, I thank the Lord that the Spirit of God strived on. It was the 27th of the 3rd, 2005. It was an Easter Sunday. And I remember simply coming down the stairs that morning, my friends. And I remember the Spirit of God starting to take a dealing with my soul. I remember just simply after dinner time, asking myself the question, why? Why? Why did the Lord of glory leave the splendors of heaven's beauty to come down into this sin-cursed world? Why? You see, my friends, he was adored in heaven. The angels adored him. The songs of the angels, the speech of the angels was holy. Holy, holy. But yet he came down into this sin-cursed world to hear the cries of wicked men. Crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. When I started to dwell that this was a love that I have never seen before, my heart started to melt. Praise the Lord, he left the splendors of heaven to come to seek and to save that which was lost. I was a lost sinner and going to a lost eternity. And then I realized that Jesus loved me. And he gave his precious blood for me. Oh yes, I can hear from that cross that day, my friends, by faith, I have done this for thee. What hast thou done for me? Christ died our death for us, that we might live his life for him. Nowhere in the four Gospels, my friends, listen to me carefully, nowhere in the four Gospels did the Lord Jesus Christ do anything for himself. Nowhere. It was always for others. Always for others. He was always at the disposal of others doing good. There was no self-seeking about my lovely Savior. His was a life of self-sacrifice from beginning to end. His was a life ever lived to the glory of Almighty God. His was a life on which was stamped with heaven's approval. For the Father's voice testified audibly, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." My friends, as I dwelt on the cross of Calvary, my heart started to melt. That stony heart for 35 years of age, no thought of God, never wanted to give my life to God, apart from maybe my deathbed, I was going to cry out that wee cry, "Lord, save me a sinner." And folks, you know something, the story goes like this. A police officer named Peter O'Hangler was out patrolling on a night duty on the streets of England some years ago, when to his amazement and shock, he discovered a little boy sitting on the doorstep of a shop with tears running down his face. When the police officer approached the young boy, the child cried out, "Sir, I'm lost. I'm lost. Please take me home." A police officer with love bent down, looked at that child and says, "Young man, what street do you live in? Tell you me and I'll take you home." Well, the young boy's reply was, "Sir, I don't know. All I know, I'm lost." Then the police officer remembered that in the center of the city was a well-known church with a large white cross that towered high above the surrounding landscape. He pointed to it and asked the young boy, "Do you live anywhere near there?" Oh, the boy's face immediately lit up. "Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Take me to the cross and I can find my way home from there." I found the cross on the 27th of the 3rd, 2005. My friends, nothing will melt you. Nothing will melt you as much as the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember that day, my friends, as plain as I'm speaking tonight. My heart was broken. I realized I needed the Savior. And I realized I needed him then. I remember just dwelling that whole day about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, all the stories I'd heard from years by. But yet Satan was at his work, my friends. It comes about 9 o'clock, and the wife says to me, "What time are you supposed to be on at tonight?" My wife never seen me cry. Hard men, I thought, didn't cry. I'm paying up for it now, my friends. I'm a crybaby. But I remember walking up into that bathroom. And I can tell you something now. I was in the biggest battle I was ever in my life. And there wasn't a fist or a foot lifted. Satan come along. He started to deceive me in that bathroom. My friends, I tell you how bad it was. I thought my head was gone. Satan told me, you're going to make a mistake because what you're going to do is ask the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and then you know what's going to happen. You're never going to be able to keep it. Listen, folks, he was telling the truth. When the Lord saves, praise be to Almighty God, he keeps. That's the mighty power of his arm. He keeps us in the palm of his hand, my friends. Oh, do you know what else he told me? You'll never do without the raw cash. Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, Sunday night, head door man in a place called the Black Horse, bringing in money hand over fist. And he says to me, you'll never do without this raw cash. Praise the Lord, I've done without it. He's blessed us more than we could ever imagine. Praise the Lord, the old stinking devil's money. We didn't need it. But you know what he did tell me, friends? Listen to me very carefully. He told me this one. He says, you know what you're better to do tonight? Just go into the door. And tell all your bouncers that you're just thinking of giving it up. That's the easy way out. Because you know what's going to happen? They're going to laugh at you. They'll laugh at you. And I want to say something tonight, my friends, sitting in this meeting. Your friends may laugh you into hell. But they'll never laugh you out of it. And then my lovely Savior, through the Spirit of God, drew near and just spoke the once. Genesis 6, verse 3. My spirit shall not always strive with man. Do you know what that means, my friends? That simply means you're sitting in this meeting tonight. And if you're hearing the voice of the Lord through the Spirit, and you were to reject the Spirit tonight, you could go to every meeting to the day and hour you die, and you may never be saved. The Lord's not always found, or he's not always near. But still the battle was on. I remember just crying, Lord, please give me one more verse in the Bible. I remember going into the spare room where the Bibles I thought was kept. I remember hoking and poking, panicking. I couldn't even find a Bible, my friends. Couldn't even find a Bible that night. But there was 8 sheets of paper. A young man had a concern for my soul when I was about 14, 15. He knew I was starting to rebel. And he wrote out those 8 sheets of paper. I can't understand how they got there. I remember lifting them out from that bottom drawer. You know the miracle? The 8th sheet was sitting at the top. Do you know what it says? Just how to give your life to the Savior. I remember crying like a baby, broken. I remember coming down the stairs. I passed the wife. I says, I'll be back shortly. And you know what my prayer was? Lord, save me. Just save me. But Lord, you know what I want to do? I want to get to the mountain. I want to get to a quiet place and I want to surrender my life to you. I remember jumping into the car and sailing down that road. And I could barely see in front of me because the tears was flowing out of my face. And just like that, an awful fear came back again. Keith, if you were to die or crash, I still haven't repented. I still haven't repented. If the Lord was returned that night, I still hadn't repented. I remember, listen folks, just pulling on the wee side road. I remember just throwing my head on top of the steering wheel. You see, here's where Satan will try to deceive you, my friends, that you have to say something big or something like that, or clean up your act. You know, your good works has to come first of all, Keith, before you can be saved. My friends, I went through that. He's a deceiver. Do you remember the day in faith beside the Lord Jesus Christ? He couldn't get down off the knee, pull the nails out and run to the River Jordan and get baptized. No, 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 my friends. No, no. He just simply cried out, Lord, remember me. And that was my prayer that night on that steering wheel, my head on top of it. I says, Lord, I've done many a sin against thee. But I says, Lord, I believe in thy word. We have says, if we confess, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise the Lord, there's power in the blood, my friends. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You see, if Satan, my friends, listen to me very carefully. I'm speaking to the believer, if he's doubting you, he's a master of it. Sometimes we think these pastors has got wings coming out of them. Let me tell you something, if you're in the front line, these men know what's it like. It's a battle, my friends. I'm in a battle every day. But you know the great thing about it? The Lord's with me. The Lord woke me up on Tuesday morning. Early, early hours of the morning. And you know what I could think about? Wounded soldiers. I don't know where I heard it. I didn't hear a man preach on it. Just wounded. I have a couple of believers has phoned me recently. They're wounded soldiers. Do you know why they're wounded, my friends? Because they're in the front line. They're going on for the Lord. You see, when we get home to heaven, believer, listen to me very carefully. I believe you'll be rewarded how many wounds you have. Because you know the problem today when Satan comes and fires the fiery darts at us, we lie down. Do you know what happens? We come away from the front line. Oh, we're not wounded anymore. Do you know what the Church of God needs today? They need to have a vision. And I don't mean a television. That's the problem today, my friends. The sewer is running into the house in the 21st century. There's no burden for souls. There's no prayer. Ah, we come into the prayer meeting. Half an hour of prayer. We call that prayer. Lord, forgive me. That's not prayer, my friends. They'd have prayer like Nicholson, a man that ripped the very bed sheets of the bed, groaning unto the Lord. Ah, Lord, bring them in to the meeting. Nowhere in the scriptures does it tell me that. It says, go ye out into the highways and the byways and compel them in. Compel them in. Friends, we ought to be counted in these last days for the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be wounded soldiers that's on the front line going forward. But my friends, I must needs finish. I'm sorry for going over my time. But I remember coming home. I remember busting through that back door. I thought it was the Hulk. Couldn't wait to get in through it. I remember throwing my arms around my wife. And I remember saying, Esther, there's going to be changes in her home. I broke that lady's heart. That lady knows all about this man. I broke her heart. I'm not proud to say that tonight, folks. Not only did I break her heart, I broke my wee boy's heart. 5 years of age. Please come to arrest me for GBH. Don't take daddy away, was the cry of a youngster. Let me tell you something tonight, folks. Sin will take you a lot further than you want to go. Sin will take you a lot further than you want to go. But I remember running to the phone. And my dad was on holidays. This is a man and woman, my dad and my mum, that prayed for me for 35 years. Broke his heart. Broke his heart, my friends. I remember lifting the phone and how Satan says to me, you know, your daddy says that you weren't to phone not unless it was an emergency. Praise be to God, it was an emergency. I remember dialing the phone. I remember dialing the number. And I remember saying, Dad, your prayers has been answered. Your wayward boy has come home. Let me tell you something, folks. I love the Lord. Why? Because He first loved me. I started to pray for my wife. She wasn't saved. And she didn't know all about this business of Christianity. She, in fact, she just reminded me last week or the week before that I came down with all my bouncing gear. And I remember setting it down and I says, Esther, throw that in the bin. And but she didn't understand. She says, no, I'll just keep it just in case you go back to it again. I prayed for my wife. I thank the Lord tonight. I've got a young boy at 18, Stefan. And a wee girl, Gemma. She's the angel in the house. I would say she's probably the most godliest. She is the godliest in the house. We before we eat, my wee girl will say grace and give thanks to the Lord for the food. But you know what the Lord done? He gave us household salvation. My wife was saved. I think it was 6 weeks after I was saved. My young boy saved and my wee girl saved. You know, we serve a wonderful Savior, my friends. But you know what saddens me tonight and my heart breaks? You could be listening to the voice of the Lord for the last time. Maybe your heart's heavy and you've been searching for rest. Let me tell you something, my friends. There's no rest in this world. He's a hard taskmaster, Satan. And I mean that, folks. He's a hard taskmaster. But let me tell you something. When he gets you to hell, he'll be a lot harder. You know, I love that Matthew 11 and 28. Come on to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And you know what the promise is? I'll give you rest. And he that cometh unto me, I will in no ways cast out. You know what a promise that is tonight, just to think that you could leave with a new birth. It's a new birth that you need, my friends. I was born in 69, but I was born again in 2005. And you know something, I just simply plead with you to give your life to the Savior. I tell you why. Because tomorrow may be too late. Doesn't James explain it perfectly there in James 4 and 14? What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a short time, and then it simply vanisheth away. The hardest thing I've ever done since I gave my life to Christ, it's not going out in outreach and speaking to people. I don't have any problems with that. I think the Lord has given me the ability to do that for him. But one of the hardest things, and with this I finish, was to go to a wake of a dear friend that I loved more than anybody. His name was Francis Campbell. A young Roman Catholic fella. A lovely fella. He would have given you anything. You see, materially, my friends, listen to me. He had everything materially. And I mean that. That's why every time I go into Luke 16, every time I go into Luke 16, I often think of that dear friend, Francis. You see, Francis stood with me many a night at the door. I often wondered why he had to come and do door work. It wasn't nothing to do with money. Francis always come for the crack. He always called it but a crack tonight again, Keith. Or maybe get a nod punch or two. He was probably as tight as man as what's in Northern Ireland. I don't know how many Dans he had behind him. But out of 24 doormen, only one doorman phoned me when I gave my life to Christ. We were just in from church. And it was Francis. How are you, Keith? I says, good, Francis. And I remember as a newborn babe in Christ, simply trying my best to preach the gospel. I remember saying, Francis, you know the Lord Jesus Christ loves you the way he loves me. You know, just because you're a Catholic and I'm a Protestant, it makes no difference. And I says, you know, Francis, the Lord Jesus Christ shed his precious blood for you as well as me. You know, I told him that every priest that standeth daily, often offering up the same sacrifices which never can take away sins. But this man, being the Lord Jesus Christ, after he had offered up one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. I remember pleading with him for a soul. Do you know the last words I heard from that young man? We'll meet up sometime for a cup of coffee. A mission had come to the town. It was Independent Methodist. You know what it's like, a newborn babe in Christ. You just want to be fed and fed and fed. I remember a converted Roman Catholic from Pole Glass was testifying that night. My friends, listen to me. I couldn't wait till the sermon service was over to get up to the front. Because what I wanted to do was get a copy of that testimony and get straight to Francis Campbell. And to give him that word of testimony. The meeting was over. I remember coming up to the front. I remember receiving the copy. And I remember saying to myself, I'm definitely going to Francis. Francis needs to hear about this, but let me tell you something, my friends. I didn't realize that I was a weak saint. Satan says, how could you go back down around Clubland? Or those places that think you're back doing door work? Just throw the DVD or the CD in the car and sometime you'll bump into them. And sadly, I listened to the lies of Satan. I got a phone call on a Tuesday morning. It was Padraig O'Kane. He says, Kate, did you hear about Francis? I don't know what made me think maybe Francis has given his life to Christ. He says, do you remember the big farmyard he was left? I says, I do. He says, Francis came out, went down into that barn, took a rope, and come out of the second. I'm not making this up, my friends. See, every time I preach, I see Francis in the meeting. You know the second cry of the rich man in hell? Saint Lazarus, leave me go to my father's house. If I have five brothers, lest they also come to this awful place of torment. I remember that week looking at Francis.
I remember seeing him holding on to a thing of rosary beads. I have never forgot about that, my friends. What are you holding on till tonight? That's holding you back from giving your life to the Savior. You know, Proverbs 14 and 12 says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. My friends, heed God's word in John 14 and 6, where Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Joshua stood before the children of Israel over 3,000 years ago. Do you know what his cry was? Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen.